Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flava's Artist Roundtable. This is where I open up the phone lines for you, the artists, the creative souls, the service providers, and even the fans to call in and share your thoughts in regards to the business side, the polished side, what it is to take this to make this work for an underground independent artist and how they can get out there in the spotlight and shine. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. Tonight's show is going to be the last one for 2011. And I thought I'd, you know, see if we could talk about things about, you know, closing out this year. What did it look like? What do you want to do differently in 2012? I know for myself, I've been working on a game plan as to, you know, what went well in this year and what things do I need to change. So otherwise, but if you've got a subject that you would like to discuss, I'm open to that too. It doesn't necessarily always have to be about a subject that I throw out there. But until we get that first caller and that first person to raise their hand, I'm going to play some music. So since we're in that holiday season, I'm going to start out with some holiday music. This is Abdul Hall, and this piece is called The Christmas Song.
Lots of toys.
That was a beautiful, beautiful rendition of the Christmas song by Abdul Hall out of California. Now let me jump into another holiday song, and I'm going to play Carolina of Bells by John D. Green Sr., produced by SJF Music.
Thank you.
right. That was an amazing, beautiful rendition of Carolina of Bells by John D. Green Sr., produced by SJF Music. And before I go any further, both of the tracks that I opened up with, the Christmas song by Abdul Hall and Carolina of Bells by John D. Green Sr., are available online for sale for digital download. Carolina Bells, you can find over at sjfmusic.com. I believe also on the Reverb Nation for SJF Music. And then Carolina Bells, the Christmas song by Abdul Hall is available on iTunes. So that's one way that you can support an underground independent artist, even as simple as going and purchasing a 99-cent digital download. You know, that for one lets the artist know that you really love what it is that they're doing and that you appreciate at least that one track. And, you know, it starts building revenue for them. You'd be surprised at what $1 can do. And, you know, if you multiply that by many, that really adds up. You know, so that's one thing that I really, really stress when it comes to what I do here at Flava News and Flava News Radio is supporting the artists. Not only by, you know, sharing with them that you love what they're doing, not only by hitting that reshare button, which is something I'm really, really going to stress in 2012, to, you know, actually purchasing something that they've created, especially if you have said that you love what they do. So many of the artists give of themselves freely. And after time, you know, they deserve to actually get paid. You know, the mainstream artist started out as no one. You know, somebody in a neighborhood, in a community, in a church, you know, somewhere. You know, and people got behind them and helped push them out there to the point that they got in front of the right people to be recognized, to have the light shine on them. We, here at Flava News and Flava News Radio, we can join hands and do the same. So anyway, something to really, really think about as we go out of 2011 going into 2012. How can you best support the artists that you say that you love what they're doing? And if nothing else, think about purchasing a 99-cent digital download. You can go to Walmart and purchase one of the, or get one of those prepaid cards and throw some money on it. So you can, you know, do the online purchases and do it that way. I know there are some people who do not have the capability or don't trust, you know, to put a credit card or a debit card online. But if you do the prepaid debit cards, you know, I think that would work just fine, and it would give you, free you up to be able to show support. I know we got a dollar out there somewhere. I know we can dig it out of the couch and under the car seat, you know. So anyway, just think about that. But again, I want to welcome you to Flava Coffee House Online Radio Style. And I'm saying all the wrong stuff, huh? Okay, the Artist Roundtable. And, you know, this is where I open up the phone lines for us to discuss, you know, some topics pertaining to being in the arts and entertainment community. You know, so I open up the free line, the phone line for you to join me in conversation. Excuse me, I just had my little three-year-old grandbaby leave, and so let me just, you know, regroup here and sip on some what do you call this? You know, the fruit punch, Hawaiian punch. So anyway, let me get a sip right quick. And I hope that somebody will call in. I know there are some people on the line, so I hope that somebody will raise their hand. But I thought a topic that we could discuss tonight is, you know, closing out this new year. How did 2011 look for you as an artist or a business person in this industry? And what, you know, might you do differently? Not that you necessarily have to share, you know, those topics, but I think it's something that is really, really good to do at the end of any year to reevaluate, you know, how things went. A dear friend of ours, family member, sends out every year at the end of the year, kind of like
than a sub-basement in Atlantis. And I am deeper than the act of procreation of the praying mantis. I'm so deep, I overstand pyramids and crop circles. I'm so deep, I don't even bother to leap over them. I walk under racism's hurdles. I'm so deep, when my voice meets the mic and goes out through the speakers, to some I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. You have to go underground to hear me, to take a journey to your soul's core just to get near me. I am deeper than still waters and underground streams, and I'm deeper than questions like, do blind people see their dreams? I am deeper than the secrets of Mason, and I'm deep enough to think that we could be one nation under the Most High. I'm so deep, I don't believe, I know I can fly. I am deeper than the debates between evolution and creation. I inhale deeply of God's inspiration. I exhale thoughts in degrees of 1,440 divided by 4. I'm so deep, I sip ice water at the earth's core. I'm so deep, I'm above the law of the land. I'm deep enough to know that I'm the original man. I'm deep enough to know that I could never know God's plan. I'm deep like the concept of footprints in the sand. I'm so deep, I bring order to helter-skelter. I'm so deep, my penthouse is your underground shelter now. Who do you think pulled the string that made life's mysteries unravel? I am deeper than deja vu and time travel. I'm so deep, I won't even bother to walk through it. I'll just tunnel under the valley of the shadow of death. I'm so deep, you can't even skin my soul unless you hold your breath. If you're too shallow to swim in the deep end, you'll drown the moment you stick your feet in the water of me for a temperature check, because I'm so deep.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'm sitting here talking up a storm, and I had the phone on mute. This is just not my day, huh? I need to start all over, don't I? So, anyway, hi, everybody. This is Lady Flava, and this is the Artist Roundtable, and I've had all kinds of glitches tonight to the fact that I put myself on mute, and I was talking to you guys on mute. I had a big old conversation that you didn't even hear. So, do I want to start it all over again now? We'll just kind of play it by ear. Unfortunately, my buddy, my partner in crime, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, he hung up. He probably thought something happened to the show. So hopefully he will call back in because he's a great person for me to play off of and start out the conversations on the Artist Roundtable. But you know what? Let me just jump into another track. And you know what? I'm going to play another track, actually, by Christopher Fields. I played, when the phone hung up, I played his piece called Deep. He's a spoken word artist out of Washington, D.C. I want to give you another taste of his style, and that will give me a chance to try to get Stephen back on the line and get this discussion opened up and going. But if you have a topic that you would like to talk about on the Artist Roundtable, please feel free to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. My thoughts are talking about closing out 2011, going into 2012. But I'm going to play a piece called Black Man by Christopher Fields.
Black man. Brother, do you know who you are? When I walk, that black man walk. And don't let me talk, that black man talk. And when I claim my black man birthright as the king of kings, a black man raised up on red Kool-Aid, cornbread, and collard greens. Looking back on my days as a little black boy and all of that black joy, my black grandfather told me about his journey perilous out of the South. I heard from my black self from that black man's mouth that he promised God if he got him out of the South safely, he would never go back. And I watched that black man keep that promise until he was called back to the essence. I thank God for that black man and all of the lessons. And I thank God for the majestic black man that my father is. And I will honor that black man for as long as he lives. And when his black man body is no longer here for the physical eye to see, his black man spirit will come again in me. And I won't look for those two great black men to fall down out of the sky, because heaven's not that high when you look within and understand that only the flesh can die. My black man body is a vessel for God's Holy Spirit. My black body is amazing. And when sweat glistens on my black body like the morning dew drops on a flower, and when I fill out my application for some black power, I'll get work in the black revolution to make the world understand that the black man is not the problem, but the black man is the solution. Yes, the black, the come correct, the right and exact man, 360 degrees of pure power. Black man, accept your own and know thy black self. Not knowing black man could be bad for your black health, see. I'm a black man with black hands, and my black hand wants to shake your black hand, but every black hand is not attached to a wide awake black man. So as the creeper sleeps on black love, and I go about my everyday black man, same old same, black on black love is all that I can think of. And when I do my black man deep thinking, my black thoughts are so funky, if you listen, shh, they be stinking. And when I
cop my black man attitude. I claim this here third rock, both longitude and latitude. And if my ebony eyes start to cry, or I look like I have a story to tell, it's just that a politician's heaven is a black man's hell. And this black man knows firsthand the pressure of being a young black male. See, I became a suspect the moment that I stepped outside of my home, and I fit so many descriptions, I must be a black man clone. But I believe in my heart of hearts that I have been endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, and I believe that I have the right to be judged by my words, by my deeds, and by the content of my character, and not by some flawed connection of my complexion to a predisposition for crime. And black man, I believe that you and I can disagree and nobody has to die. And black man, I believe that I have the right to walk down the street without you shooting at me as you drive by. I'm sick and tired of black on black violence, but I'm more sick and I'm more tired of black on black silence. I'm tired of hearing how the black man is getting all of the jobs today. They say we're underqualified yet overpaid. Now, in one breath, we're getting all of the jobs, but in their next breath, we're all on welfare, ignorant and lazy. If not for the grace of God, every black man might go crazy. So when I do my black man reflecting, my black self-checking, my black stereotype correcting, black hate wrecking, black to black connecting, God manifesting, black man duty. And when we as a people find the courage and the time to run a check up from the neck up, and we discover that a waste is a terrible thing to mind, and the woman is treated and carries herself as though she were divine, oh, black man, peace is what you'll find. Back in the day, they would look at me and say, boy, you so black, you so black, boy, you cough smoke. Back in the day, they would look at me and say, boy, you so black, you so black, boy, you sweat oil. That was back in the day until I heard someone else say, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And as I grew into the knowledge of God and self, I learned that the deeper the black man is, the tighter the noose, see. Don't you go and get black man bold, because you will not see black man old, or so I'm told. But I'm a black man who understands my blackness is not a disease, and I will die right here, right now, on my black feet before I live 1 second on Negro knees. I stretch my black man hand out over troubled waters and I say, peace, be still, get up, mighty black man, you can accomplish what you will.
Listening to Black Band by Christopher Fields out of Washington, D.C. That is off of his The Christopher Fields Project CD. I want to welcome everybody to the Artist Roundtable. I so apologize for all the glitches during the first 30 minutes of this show. Boy, oh boy. It just like I learned to try to glow with the flows of the challenges, but you know what? This was on my phone's end. It wasn't the internet this time or Blog Talk Radio. It was the phone. First time it hung up on me. The second time I put myself on mute and you know, thought I was talking to all of you and this and that and found myself, I hadn't taken myself off of mute. But that particular artist and Stephen Jerome Ferguson, I want you to know your phone line is open. I didn't want to lose you again, so your phone line is open. But let me just, you can listen to me talk for a minute. I received this particular CD by Christopher Fields to listen to and to do a review on, probably about a month ago. And I was having a conversation actually with one of Stephen's artists today in regards to my process of when I listened to this particular CD. I found myself, Stephen, listening first to the quality of the production. Really interesting for me, you know, how I'm doing things now. You know, before it would be like, okay, the words and this, that, and the other, and the flow, right? I found myself really listening to the production of this piece, of this CD, to then going back a week later and just kind of listening to it and how it all, like, kind of flowed and worked together, to then a few days ago listening to it again and actually listening to the words. I have to tell you, this has got to be one of the best spoken word CDs I have ever listened to. And I've been connected to spoken word artists for many, many years. And I have listened to several CDs over the years also. I do believe that over the years, too, the production level of especially spoken word artists has gotten better. I think a lot of them were just kind of doing it on their own, you know, from their homes and this and that without, as you and I have talked about, Stephen, you know, understanding equipment and all of that. But I have to tell you that this particular CD is so well done that I would recommend it to, you know, anybody that loves this particular art form or even people that are new to this art form. There's a variety of styles and topics that he has on here, and I just think the music and vocal accompaniments just really, really go very, very well. So, with that said, I have a review up. So if you haven't seen it, it's on the Flavor Reviews page on my website. Go check out my review on this. You can, I have the link to where you can find this particular CD. And I'm going to get back into doing reviews. So I just received in the mail yesterday a book by a dear, dear friend of mine who we've been friends maybe since 2006, Lamont Carey, also out of Washington, D.C. And he, actually, they probably know each other. That's funny. I didn't think about that. But Lamont and Christopher probably know each other. But this is Lamont's first novel. He is known as a spoken word artist and an activist out there. And all of that. So I'm really excited to read his book for review. So I'm getting back into doing reviews. So with all that said, Stephen, thank you and welcome to the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Well, obviously I've been having issues tonight, huh?
It happens. It happens. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Man, I think you know, normally I can blame it either on the computer, the internet, Blog Talk Radio, but
sometimes it's just a loose nut behind the computer keyboard.
Are you trying to say that's me? Okay, he's calling me a loose nut. Can we go back to either calling me Peanut or Angel or Boo or something?
Boy. I've done it myself.
Wow, he called me a loose nut. No, that's okay. That's okay.
We've all been there. One time or another.
I try not, you know, honestly, I try not to do it on the radio shows, but, you know, it never fails, you know. And I guess that's why I like doing these particular shows, because I really don't claim to be perfect, you know. And obviously tonight that is just one of those perfect examples of me not being a perfect, you know, host or human being or, you know, radio show personality. But, you know, hey, I'm so glad that you guys hung out and didn't disappear on me and, you know, I know y'all might be talking about me. So, okay, what's going on with Flavor? Is she there? Okay, what's going on? Okay, 1 minute she's playing a track, and then there's dead air, and I'm thinking I'm talking to y'all. So, you know, I thank you for staying with me and not giving up, even though, you know, Stephen did hang up. I know he's probably like, okay, what happened to Flavor? Maybe she's not doing a show. Maybe it all died. So, I'm
well, actually, I was getting ready to text you to find out what was going on.
Anyway, okay.
Glad you made it back.
So, again,
perfection
this
is
the
overrated.
I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah, I think I did too much talking to Eternally Blaze today that I just like talked myself out that I'm delirious. I don't even know what I'm doing now.
Oh, you talked to her today?
I did for hours.
Oh,
hours.
That's the problem right there. That's
We talked for hours, and the phone actually died.
That's the problem. Yeah, you got an overdose of the Blaze.
You know, I guess it was all of that female hormones or something like that. You know what? It's a wonderful thing to talk, you know, to a woman who's, like, close to my age and, you know, yeah, you know, from one coast to the other coast. We share many things in common. But the best thing we share in common is you, Stephen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Way to clean that up. Okay.
I know it. Okay, so what can I say?
So what are
this
we talking about?
This is the Artist Roundtable. Yeah. Okay, so you know how last week, Stephen, we were talking on the Flavism show, you know, talking about marketing and promotions. And I thought that was just an absolutely great conversation. And I got a lot of really, really good feedback from phone calls to emails on that particular show. You know, I feel like we did it together. Even though you called in, you know, I think that you were such an instrumental, you know, resource to share the topic with me. But it got me thinking, like, what to talk about on this particular show. And I think that, you know, talking about how do you look at 2011 going into 2012. And one of our extended family members, you know, sent me this, like, checklist type thing, you know, how to evaluate your year. And, you know, how do you want to approach going into the new year? And actually, it's really, really good. You know, I mean, it's like stuff we already know, Stephen, you know, and we could talk about all the time. But I think there's something said to, you know, just really almost writing it out. You know, what did you experience in this year that was good? You know, what really worked? Why did it work? To, you know, what went wrong and why did it go wrong? You know, to what is it, what are your needs? What is your goal? I think it's important to have goals, you know, always going into a new year or for me, birthdays or, you know, certain times of the year, I say, okay, I'm going to set a goal at this point. But I think it's always good to work towards something. You know, I don't think it's good to stay stagnant. You know, and I don't think that it's always good to, you know, do things the same way. I think that definitely if something works, then, you know, you can keep that flowing and maybe, you know, add on to it. But I think that a lot of times when you're frustrated, you know, it's important to figure out why were you frustrated? Why didn't it work? Was it that wasn't the right approach or, you know, you didn't have the right team together. So what are your thoughts on that particular topic?
I know the frustration level can get high, especially for artists, because art is such a personal thing to us. But one thing that you really, really have to work on is when you're looking back at what worked and what didn't work, you need to remove any kind of frustration or any kind of feeling out of the equation whatsoever. You have to, you know, people have heard me say this, you've heard me say this, that you have to run things like it's a business. I mean, especially if that's your goal is to make money off your art, you need to run your I mean, you need to do everything that you do, run it like a business. And the first thing to try to do is try to, if you can get those emotions out of it, and then you can look at things objectively, and you can objectively see what worked, what didn't work, why it didn't work, or why something did work. One thing that I learned during my time in the military was that every time we did something, like it was a big field training exercise or, you know, big stuff like that where we all got together and had to do it, after we did it, all of the leadership and supervisory people that were involved got together, and we had what was called an after-action report.
Mm-hmm.
And basically all it was a critique. We went over everything that went well, and then we went over everything that didn't go so well. And
right.
the things that went well, we would write them down, and then we would include those things in what was called a standard operating procedure, SOP.
Mm-hmm.
So they became standard for everybody to do from that point forward. And the things that didn't work, we looked at them and we dissected them and found out why these things didn't work the way they should have. And we also, once we did that, then we also took that information, how we could fix these problems, and we included that into our standard operating procedure. And you do that enough times, you get to a point where you got basically a checklist that says,
sure,
that, okay, if I want to promote a CD, I need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I in this order to do it correctly. And the thing is that takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of objective criticism of yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to actually say, you know, what the heck were you thinking? Why did you do it that way?
Right.
And a lot of it is going to be trial and error. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of books out there on the subject, but I mean, you get five of them together, and all five of them will tell you five different things about, you know, what you need to do and how you need to do it. So you need to kind of find a thing that works for you, and to do that, it takes a little bit of time, and it takes a lot of what a lot of people should be doing right now is reflecting over what worked and what didn't work.
And I think it really is a good way to end this year is doing just that. If I work on a bigger project, I'm really good at typing out a plan of action, you know, and you know, whether you want to call it a proposal, whether you want to call it a business plan, you know, whatever. I type it out, and I get to the point that I'm, like, so detailed. Like, what is it going to take for this plan to work? Down to, for instance, when I did a hip-hop event. I mean, I wrote out, like, how many extension cords I was going to need, microphones, you know,
mm-hmm.
stool, you know, all the equipment needed to the bodies. I needed, you know, a person at the door taking money. I needed, you know, security. You know, I needed how many people handling the bar, you know, and different people at different, you know, points, and who was going to be over, you know, by the sound booth, whatever that's called. I'm just
right.
Drawing a blank now. You know, but I mean, I had it all like detailed out, exactly what it was going to take, what type of money could be made off of the event if we sold the tickets at this amount. You know, different packaging to, you know, what people would make after the event was over, because I'm really big on people making money off of the event. You know, so it was like all detailed out, you know, what the cost was going to be, what was the manpower going to be, you know, what was needed money-wise, you know, to make it a success, to cover the expenses of the event on top of it, allow the artist to walk away with money. And so then, like you said, you know, going back after the fact and revisiting, you know, what worked and what didn't work. And I think that's just, I think that's really important, you know, to when you have a project that you're working on, to really map it out, you know, and create that checklist for yourself to make sure that you're on point. I think that when you are like me when I do radio shows and I wing it, you know, things like the phone hanging up and talking to the phone when you're on mute, you know, happens or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, things don't go necessarily as smoothly, but I think that if you come up with a plan, you know, it allows you a bit more control. And I think that going into the next year, you know, I would hope that artists aren't just like winging it, you know,
right,
and not having a plan as to what it is that they want to get out of the first quarter of this year, going into the second quarter, you know, to
exactly
in the very end, you know, what the end result of the year is going to be. So I think that's really, really good advice, you know, to map it out. And
definitely.
And I think, you know, I think identifying why did this work? You know, if you created a song and it went so smoothly, you know, you got in the studio, everything went well, you got great feedback once you took it public, and then you created another song and it didn't get the same reaction, what would be the difference? I don't know if artists go that direction too. Like, why did one track get more recognition over another track? I don't know if you guys do stuff like that.
Well, some do, some don't. That kind of depends on what your motivation is. If your motivation is just to try to be popular and to try to sell as many songs as you possibly can, yeah, you might want to do that. Some artists are just in it for the sake of creating art, and as long as you know, as long as they're happy with the project and the project says what they intended it for it to say, then they're fine with it. But if like I said, there's a lot of artists out there that you know, the main goal is to try to make some money off of it, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But if you do put out one single and it does fine, and then you put out something else and it doesn't do fine, yeah, you might want to look at and see, okay, now why did this one flop and the other one didn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, see what happens there. But that's the whole goal. The whole point is analyzing stuff, finding out why something worked or why something didn't work, and then try to fix it for the next one.
I suppose that I think indirectly you said something, Stephen, and let me paraphrase if it, and let me know if I'm, you know, interpreting this correctly. But I think that in a sense you're also, you know, saying, you know, what is your ultimate purpose of doing what you're doing?
Right.
And I think identifying that might be a good thing when you embark on a project. Why am I doing this? And what is
exactly
it that I need to get out of it? Is it that I just want people to love it? Is it just allowing me to create something that I'm digging? Or is it something I want to make money from? Or, you know, whatever the approach would be.
If you don't have a target, then you are, again, going back to one of my old military phrases, you are an unguided missile. You're just all thrust but no vector, no target. You're just all over the place with all this thrust going on, but you don't, you got to have a target. You have to know what you want to do. And that's the first step to making any kind of plan, is knowing where you want to get to. And then the plan is putting those steps together to get to where you want to get to.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that even, like, for myself, who's not an artist, you know, I think through, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing and what is it that I want to get out of it? You know, and, like, when it comes to the radio, I fell into doing the radio shows. It wasn't something I necessarily planned. on being a radio show host. Didn't plan to, you know, in a sense, you know, gain my own notoriety and success from it. But I think that's when that's, you know, when God is steering, you know, the journey, and he's allowing it to just really work. And it's something that I really, really enjoy doing. So then, of course, I started out as a novice, as doing this for fun, to now then putting it into the business plan, and it's part of the business, you know. And so then what do I need to be able to do to make this work and incorporate it into the plan of where I want to go with Slava News? I think it's important to know, you know what your role is when you're in this industry, and know what that title and role really, really means. I don't think that a lot of people necessarily go into it and say, you know, this is what I want to do, and, you know, the title all sounds good, and they don't really understand the rest, you know, beyond the title. I think just like with artists, they can create, they can sing, they can write, whatever it is. They can create beats, but do they understand the business part of it? And do they understand, if it is something that they want to make money from, how to go about making money? What does that really, really mean?
Right. Exactly.
So I think it's important to educate yourself and do the research and understand what the industry is that you're going into now. When I used to do the open mics at Flavor Coffee House here in Seattle, you know, there were definitely ones that, you know, could and have and will take it to the next level as far as it potentially bringing in money for them. Then there were the other ones that did it just for fun.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, you know. And there are definitely people who have that talent that they do it for the fun. Or there are people that have the talent, don't understand the business part, so they'll never go anywhere with that talent. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's really, really important to understand what it is that you're stepping out into and not going out there blindly. You know, there have been people who have approached me about being their manager and stuff like that. And, you know, I've got the connections, you know, but I do not have the kind of connections, in my opinion, that is needed to be an effective manager.
Right.
You know, and I know people across the world, you know, in this industry. I know promoters across the world and all of that. But to me, I don't have that knowledge at this point. And on top of it, you know, just like I was having this great conversation with Hassan Brown, when it comes to being a manager, you have to be real. You have to really, really believe in that artist, and you have to, dedicate just as much into it as the artist is. You know, even if it comes down to you putting your money into things and this and that, the money doesn't come up front.
The money
comes on the back end when you're in a manager.
Yeah.
You know, so when you talk about being a manager, that's some hard work and hustle.
I
want to be a manager and that I, want to take that on. Yet I do have connections, you know. So I think that's something to really, really identify too. When you want to take on a certain role, what does that really mean?
Like you said, there's a lot of talented people out here right now trying to make it. And they may be very talented at doing what they do, but like you said, they have very little knowledge of the business side of the house and the promotion and marketing side of the house. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There are mainstream artists out there right now that don't have a clue about the business side of the house,
right?
But they have people to take care of that for them. And if you can associate yourself, and it may not necessarily take 15 to 20 different people. It could be just it just could be a close friend or a cousin or whatever, somebody that knows something about organizing and planning and or maybe marketing. If you can get two or three of those people in your corner that are willing to help you to get to where you need to go, then, you know, you don't have to do it all yourself, and you can concentrate on
sure.
All you have to worry about is the art, and let them handle the business side of it. It requires a lot of trust, and you have to really trust these people. But, you know, there's maybe if you just, you know, look around a little bit in your life, there may be some people that's willing to help you out with that, because everybody's not good at planning.
Right.
You know, I've seen some people make plans and they show it to me, and I look at it and say, well, okay, I understand how this could work in your brain, but how is this supposed to work in the real world?
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's just some people have that talent, some people don't. That's also a talent. It's something that you have to learn how to do.
Right.
I was really blessed with the fact that I had a 20-year career in the United States Army. And that's one thing they teach you how to do is plan. I mean, you even plan for things going wrong. Okay, you have a contingency plan in place for, like, if, you know, I mean, anything can happen. If it can go wrong, it probably will go wrong. Okay, that's
right.
That's the way
right.
I go about my planning sessions. Is
sure.
I look at things and say, okay, this is what I want to do, and what could possibly go wrong with what I want to do, and you know, how can I put something in place to take care of that beforehand? And if nothing bad happens, I end up looking like a miracle worker or something, because I end up finishing stuff like way ahead of time and all that. But
right.
You know how it is. I mean, you do live radio. Things go wrong.
Right.
You know?
Like tonight, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that, too, I think when something goes wrong, I think that how you work through that also kind of
mm-hmm.
shows your professionalism or whatever. It's just like if somebody's
definitely.
Up on stage performing and they forget words, but they figure out how to improvise. We may never
mm-hmm.
know that you forgot the words. You know,
that's
just
the whole
how
key.
You chose
yeah,
to work
the whole
through
key.
The issue.
I've
you
been
know,
on
Steve,
stage where
got...
I've had guitar strings break on me on stage.
Really?
I mean, all kind of things have happened. And it's
right.
like you just have to, you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome. You have to deal
there
with
you
it.
Go. We've got another caller on the line, Stephen, so let me... let me bring them into the artist roundtable. I want to say I know who this is, but, you know, should I holler out the name? I'm going to go ahead and just trust I know who this is. Caller from the 770. Is this Noah?
Nope, this is Mr.
Oh, it's not Noah. Oh, is it Patrick?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I missed the area code. I was thinking I was... I'm so sorry, Patrick. Noah said he was going to call in, and I thought, isn't the area code in Virginia a 7-something area code? And I just drew a blank on the 770. So anyway, Patrick Domino, welcome to the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, hello. How's everybody doing today?
Hey, Patrick. How you doing, brother?
Good.
So what do you think of the conversation, and what do you think of all my glitches, you know, I've had, you know, during this show today? My another glitch, I didn't know it was you. I called you Noah.
Oh, that's okay. Well, yeah, but you got it fixed, though. See, that's the main thing.
Okay.
You got the glitch fixed.
Did I?
I was listening in on it, and, you know, what y'all were discussing, and I agree, you know, 100% you got to have plans in place. But sometimes I feel like you can overplan. And you can miss opportunities because you're following your plan list, and because a lot of opportunities you stumble upon versus that being part of your plan. And you can miss a lot of opportunities following your plan list, you know, versus just letting things happen, you know.
That's an interesting point, and that's a good point. I can definitely see why you would say that.
I think, you know, you have a plan, but, you know, make it a short plan.
Give your plan enough flexibility so that if something is, and like I said, you know, something, it may not be wrong happen, but something unexpected can happen, like an unexpected opportunity can come by. We have to learn how to adjust our plans on the fly a lot of times. Because,
sure.
Like I said, if an unexpected opportunity comes by, that offer that's made to you that you just can't refuse, then, you know, you may have to readjust your plan a little bit.
So, you know, an unexpected thing just happened. Stephen and Patrick dropped off the phone.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe it's not me. Maybe it is Blog Talk Radio. Maybe it was Blog Talk that booted me up.
Maybe
anyway,
sunspots.
Patrick, I hope that you can call back. And Noah, I see you're back in the chat room, so I hope that you're going to call in. So anyway, I think that Patrick did make a good point, and I'm glad that he said that because, you know, I do think that sometimes you can overplan, and if you're so rigid that you might just really miss an opportunity because you said, no, this is how I planned it and this is the direction I need to go.
No, I'm not going to play Carnegie Hall because it's not in my plan this year.
Right, right. So, sorry, you know, I'm going to have to miss that opportunity because, you know, no, it didn't fit my plan. So your phone line is back open, Patrick.
Hello?
Okay, you're back on with us. So
I
want to say that was you.
Is that your one? You disagree?
Yeah, I delete people. I just, you know, disconnect people when I'm like, okay, I didn't like what he said, so let me click this X button.
Just cut him off.
No, I did agree. Stephen and I agreed with you, Patrick.
And like what Mr. Stephen was saying, you know, you gotta do your homework, you know, because, you know, being an artist, you're not a promoter, you're not a manager, you're not a distributor, you know. You gotta do your homework on that, and even after you do your homework, it's still good to find people that, I guess you can say, when that's their craft. You know, they do that the same way you do your music. The pride that you have in your music, they have that pride in their management or in their distribution or whatever they do. You know, they take that same pride. So if you, like you said, you get that small team on your side, you know, you can go nowhere but forward.
I do think that it's important, though, even if it's not something that you're good at or you understand wholeheartedly, I do think that you should have a knowledge of all aspects of the industry so that when you do delegate to others to do the work for you, that you understand what it is that they're doing. I do think that, you know, you've heard horror stories about mainstream artists losing money because they turned over certain parts of their business to somebody else and they swindled them out of money or did not handle it correctly, but they were so unaware because it wasn't something they were knowledgeable on. So I do think that it is, you know, I think all artists should understand a bit about it.
At least a basic understanding, right?
Yeah, even if they do turn over some responsibilities. I do think the other thing, though, is to really, really make this industry work, you've got to have great people skills.
Yes. Yes, you do. It's a people-driven business. I definitely agree with that. You have to, if you don't like people, I mean, and you can't deal with people and talk to people, then you're going to have a rough time in this business.
the whole industry itself is, it evolves around people. You know, you're selling your music to people. You know,
exactly. Yep.
But have you ever been around an artist though that can't talk?
Yes.
It's just like a musician that has stage fright, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, but you know what, Patrick? I've seen people who were, like, so very shy when they're in front of you, but when they got on that stage, they turned into a monster, like they owned the stage. Like, they were so comfortable in that type of setting that's where they blossom, and then they came off of the stage and couldn't talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But,
So I'd rather have it that way than the other way around.
Right, the stage, right, thing. Right. Right. It's interesting, you know, to see the process for my own self and what I go through on my end, you know, as being, you know, the artist cheerleader and radio show host and this and that too, you know, watching what artists go through and the different conversations that I have with them. And that's kind of why I started the Artist Roundtable, is because on the phone I would have all of these, you know, conversations with artists on the side, right? And I thought, you know what, it would be great to have these conversations on the air, because I bet that other people would gain something out of this conversation, or, you know, would be willing to chime in on it. So, anyway, so Erica Reed, you know, I think that, you know, since you're in the chat room and you just want to be my little cheerleader on Facebook, I think you ought to call in and join this conversation too. So, you know, Erica, the call-in number is 347-857-1189, darling, if you'd like to call in. Let me call in,
Erica, because she's been blowing up Facebook.
I know. My daughter was laughing at me. She's like, Mama, now we got another one of you, like post after post after post. I'm like... I said, okay, yeah, I get you. I got you on that. And Noah, who is one of, I'm going to say a historian. I don't know whether that's true out in his area, but Noah's a hip-hop artist out there in Virginia. I would love for you to call in, my dear friend, and hear from you. Silver Shadow D had posted he liked this particular show. So Silver Shadow D, if there's a chance that you are listening to the show, I would love to hear from you. Silver Shadow D is one of the historians of the hip-hop community of the Pacific Northwest. So would love to hear, you know, from other people and what your thoughts on this particular subject is. You know, since I wasted about 30 minutes of the beginning of the show with all of my issues, we're missing out on time. But, you know, I think, you know, the topic is, you know, knowing what worked and didn't work in 2011, and how can you build on that for 2012. So what do you think of that topic, Patrick? Do you plan things out and, you know, do you reevaluate how the year went for you as an artist and a producer?
Well, definitely. If you really want to evaluate yourself, you should be getting better as each year comes by. If you're not, then, you know, you're doing something real wrong, or you're just at a standstill, you know. But if you're not advancing yourself, either improving in your production or in your writing skills or anything like that, or just learning new skills, you know, you're not really doing what you, I don't know, it's, you have to stay ahead of the game, so to speak, you know, but you still have to enjoy it at the same time. And if you find out that you don't enjoy it anymore, then you're not doing what you set out to do in the first place. So, you know, when it starts to feel like a job to you, that means you get off track somewhere.
I have to agree with you on that, because when it comes to the artist community and being an artist, I mean, you definitely, that's a choice. You know, it's not like maybe for some it's a need, because I would even say for me it's like, you know, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I need to be Lady Flava. I need to do this.
Okay, so it's in my blood. I couldn't imagine not playing music. You know, whether, you know, it doesn't matter what status I reach, you know, I just could not. Just like when I was younger, everybody has I want to be a rock star mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And basically when I was younger, I set an age limit for myself. Okay, if I'm not in a band and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, I'm just going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you advance year after year, and as you grow, and instead of giving it up, I just matured. And I just took a different route. I built a foundation for myself so I could make a living, but at the same time, I advanced myself in music, and instead of wanting to be just the rock star mentality or whatever you have, I got more into the production side.
Okay.
And that's when I started, you know, doing more writing, and that's when I went off on my own, you know, because a lot of the guys I was playing with didn't have that same mentality. They just wanted to be in a band. So that's when I went off on my own and start doing things on my own.
So Stephen and Patrick, you both have played in a band, and you have also performed solely. Do you think that being a solo artist is more rewarding than being a part of a band?
They both can have their good points. Because, like I said, I've played in several bands, and I'm going to tell you, Lady Flavor, there is no feeling in the world like when you're on stage and you're playing a song, especially if you're playing a song that you played like 9 million times before, and it seems like everything just goes just perfect. I mean, everybody's in that groove, and it's things are flowing, and the crowd is getting into it. I mean, there is absolutely no feeling in the world like that. And, whew, man, I'm telling you, it's a good feeling. But you can also get feelings like that from doing solo work as well, especially you know, doing what I'm doing right now. I'm having an opportunity to work with some extremely talented people, and just the satisfaction of listening to people talk about the music that these people are doing and knowing that I had a little something to do with that, that's a hell of a feeling too. It's a real good feeling. And that also comes with the maturity level as well. As you know, when I was playing in the bands and stuff, I was a lot younger than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I'm done with it too. So you know. But it's you know, both things can give you good feelings, and
okay.
It's all about the effort that you put into it, and you know, everybody getting on that same sheet of music, that same page, and everybody working towards that same goal, and it's a beautiful thing when it happens. It really is.
I agree. You know, the funny thing is, Stephen, Patrick fell off the line again, but you know, we've got another caller on the line, so let me bring them in. So, caller from the 510 area code. I know this is a California area code, but could this happen to be Erica Reed?
Yeah, it's me. It's me.
Hi, Erica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
This is my my cheerleader.
Yes. Yeah, I am. I've turned into a cheerleader for an awful lot of people nowadays.
But, you know, Erica, why don't you introduce yourself and tell people who you are and what you do?
Well, most recently, I have joined with EWB Jazz Sessions as far as an event promoter, and I'm currently coordinating a breast cancer benefit with R&B artist Eric Roberson in Oakland, so we're working on that right now, and I am also taking on a project of Nicholas Alexander, also known as the Homie Nolte. He is a hip-hop artist out of San Francisco, and he is currently doing several shows, and I'm working on getting his latest album and track on their played on the radio. So that's what I've been doing lately since I moved to Seattle, and it's only been a month. So I'm trying.
No, and I like I've told you, Erica, I think that your hustle and your passion is definitely, you know, going to help you, you know, go places with what it is that you've embarked on doing. I think a lot of it has to take that. I think one of the things that Patrick was saying is, you know, once it gets to the point that you don't love doing what you're doing, then, you know, you need to reevaluate. But I think that as long as you can keep, you know, having the passion and doing the research and everything, I think that you can definitely, you know, grow along with this. I mean, Stephen's been at this for a long time as being a musician, being in the industry, being now a producer. And, you know, he's learned along his way, too, you know, and taken mental mm-hmm. notes and written notes about his experience to grow to who he is and to have the capability of speaking on the topics. Now, for me, I mean, I strictly came into this as just really being a cheerleader. You know, I love being around creative people. I love experiencing their art, you know, and, you know, being able to be a part of the process, you know. So my journey is probably a little bit different than others because of my passion for what others are doing, people have stepped up to educate me. And many times I don't think they even realize that they're educating me because they like me so much. They just really give me information. So mm-hmm. what do you think about, you know, what Stephen and I have been talking about and then Patrick, while Patrick was able to be on the phone with us?
I definitely am jumping on the bandwagon as far as having a plan. In anything that I've been able to do, I always made sure that I had a plan, a short-term goal and a long-term goal, and whoever is involved. I'm a big believer in a win-win situation. So mm-hmm. as long as you have a plan where everyone can possibly win, or at least close to it, you know, sometimes you'll have options where they weren't exactly what you want, but that doesn't mean you don't have options. So then you come up with a plan. Is the options that are presented to me able to take me to where I see myself later? So you just have to have a plan in whatever it is that you're going to do. So I definitely agree with that.
Now, when you've worked on projects, whether it be, you know, school or, you know, things even before you got into this industry, did you ever take the time to go back and you know, reevaluate how the whole process went?
Oh, absolutely. Before I moved to Seattle, I worked as a massage therapist, and mm-hmm. I finished the program in 2008, and I had a goal as to where I wanted to end up being, and so I dabbled in different avenues when it came to massage therapy, but I always went back to see what worked and what didn't work. So
okay.
once I was able to figure out what did not work, I knew that that wasn't something I needed to incorporate into the new plan. And then when I became an instructor as a massage therapist, and I would explain to my students, I would teach them, if you do not love massage therapy, this will not work for you. You have to love what it is that you're putting your face and your name in front of. So if you don't love it and you don't have a plan and you're not able to go back to see what works, and it's going to become frustrating, and you're going to have peaks and you're going to have valleys, but at the end of the day, go back and figure out why did you sign up for this course in the first place? Why are you still sitting in class? Why are you learning all this new terminology that no one, that the average person isn't going to know? So you have to be able to understand what it is that you're doing in any industry that you're doing. So that's my point of view.
No, I think that's good, and I think that these tools you can use in any aspect of your life,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's always good to relook at, what happened, in the past year. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when it comes to a closing of a year, I always go back over what was the experience of that year. But as I leave this particular year, I'm definitely taking a different approach because I know that there's so much more for me in 2012 that, there are some things that just really need to stay in this year and not come with me into the new year. There just really are, and how do I go about doing that and this and that. And so, I personally have taken some time, to really look at my own self, So when I speak on things on the radio show, and I give advice or I share my two cents, it's not just stuff that I think other people should do. It's something that I know that I should do or I have done. So, Patrick, I just want you to know that your line is back open. I know that, you just, really don't want to be on the air with me, but I just keep drawing you back and, sending those vibes saying, Patrick, come back.
I'm just listening and taking in some good advice right now.
Well, I just, I do. I want everybody to have a great 2012. I do. I hope that everybody can walk away from 2011 feeling like they have accomplished some things and, that they have experienced some absolutely amazing experiences in this industry. But I just, whether you think that, I'm talking out of the side of my neck, of course Stephen's not talking out of the side of his neck, but sometimes, I talk out the side of my neck. I would hope that you could walk away from these shows and just say, Flava, Stephen, or Patrick, or Erica, they made a really great point. And, I'm going to honestly do that for myself, and looking on, how these experiences have impacted me or not, what worked and what didn't work, because I want this to be a great year. Coming up. I really, really do. I want Patrick to create, a Flava piece. Since I got a leopard piece out of Stephen and his friends in 2011, that's a blessing to take out. And I'll always be able to have that piece. So, I know that Patrick's going to create a Flava piece in 2012. Hint, hint. And, Erica's just going to continue being my cheerleader, because I need help. And Stephen's just going to be my bossy brother, who's loving and caring. So hint, did you notice my hints?
Yeah, throwing them like bricks, yeah.
Throwing them like bricks.
It's written on the wall.
Okay. Y'all got your tablets out and take. So Erica and Patrick, I don't know if you do this, but Stephen and I, we have confessed that we do it. We have journals and notebooks that we write in. For me, I have separate notebooks. So, for instance, the Artist Roundtable has its own notebook. So any Artist Roundtable, I take notes of what was discussed, who came to the show, who was visibly in the chat room, this, that, and the other. Go back, I look at the statistics after the show to, I can be kind of anal with certain things. So every Black Stacks has their own books, my radio shows, Monica Monet, each whatever has their own journals. I use the composition notebooks. So do y'all do that?
Go ahead, Miss Erica.
Thank you. Well, I don't necessarily journal, but on my laptop there is like post-it notes application.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what I'm working on, like for Nicholas, his theme is he always wears purple. That's his group, purple
mm-hmm.
theme. So anything I have to do with him is on purple colored notes, and then anything
okay.
dealing with EWD is on blue. So I use post-it notes as far as my laptop goes, and then on my phone, I have a mobile diary. So I take in notes that way because I'm a popcorn thinker. So having one specific journal for one specific thing, I've tried that and it doesn't work. So that goes back to that planning thing we were talking about. So I had to go back and figure out what works for me and the way that I
think. I think that everybody has to come up with their own, way of keeping organized and handle their business. But you know what I'm going
right.
to say to this one, Stephen and Patrick? You know what I'm going to say to this one? Can you even guess what I'm going to say to this?
Can never
no.
No?
Okay.
So I think this, what Erica's saying, is a generational thing. She is in the era of technology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
me?
I'm somewhere in the middle, see, because I use
you're in the middle.
A pocket.
So,
I use a pocket recorder, and if something
uh-huh.
hits me, I just hum it out or, play it out,
uh-huh.
Sound it out, whatever I need to do to get the idea down, because I never know when it's going to hit me. If I'm
uh-huh.
driving or something or whatever, I just pull it out, put a couple of sounds onto it, and then later on I'll go back to it and I'll have it. Because, sometimes an idea can hit you and then it'll be gone in 30 seconds after you have it.
Right. No, I agree with the pocket recorders, too. I have one, and I actually haven't used it since the Black Stacks event, but I have one. I've got great conversation recorded on there from Jace from Black Stacks, but... No, I'm with that, too. But I just was kind of laughing, because, Erica is probably the age of my children. And I thought, okay, she's just like, she's in that era of technology, I'm old school. Get me some paper and a pen and let me just write it all down.
She can probably do everything on her phone.
Probably. And, and I'm sitting here sending Stephen a text, and I'm pushing the wrong. I hate touch screens. Can I just tell you, touch screens are like the worst thing on a cell phone because it makes you hit the wrong buttons, and then it over wants to override what it is that you typed and put and
mm-hmm.
change the words to what they think it's supposed to be. And if you don't pay attention, you hit the send button and just like. Oh, my God, the person's going to just think I'm just crazy or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, my fingers don't even work, when it comes to all of that type of stuff. So it is better for Mama to pull out a pen and a paper and waste trees, and put it on some paper. So, no, I love your idea, Erica, because, Mariko finally got me on this thing called Zoho. It's wonderful, right? It took her
mm-hmm.
I don't know how many months to get me on Zoho. So now I have my Zoho account, and it's got my calendar, and every different thing that I have to do in each day has its colors, like Erica was talking about. So my grandchildren are one color, my daddy's in another color, and, Flava News is green, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a section in there for tasks and stuff like that. I haven't quite gone in there to the task section or, the notes section, but... maybe that's something that I will get into in 2012, up in my technology capabilities.
Yeah, the technology is out there that can help you out a lot with being able to stay on point and planning and everything. I found something on I set up a Gmail account a couple of months ago. Just so I could get on Google Plus, and
mm-hmm.
I found out that I could in the email, you know, a lot of the emails that you get now, they have these calendars also with the emails. And I just linked my Gmail email to my phone, and everything I add to my calendar on Gmail or Google Plus or wherever I'm at, it automatically updates my phone. And I mean, all kind of stuff out there. You can sync stuff now and all that. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to do it. It's just, you just got to get past that that technology barrier there, Miss Flavor.
I know.
By the time you get used to one, they're changing it again.
I know, yeah.
This is true. You know, but that, you know, it's funny that you say that, Stephen, because Stephen knows, you know, he knows some of my, you know, deepest, darkest secrets. So, and he, you cannot pay him to get that information out of him, you know. But
Don't say that now.
Oh, you would sell, Stephen, you would sell my secrets?
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Times are getting hard out here, Flavor. I mean,
you know, I got some good stuff to tell, too. It might be worth some money. Maybe I ought to tell my own. Well, I probably wouldn't get the money if I told my own secrets. Huh?
That's the thing. If you tell your own, people won't believe it.
Yeah, they might not, huh? Okay, so, well, you know, Stephen, if you sell my secrets, you're going to have to split. You know, we could do a 60-40, right?
I'll give you a 60-40.
I'll let you take the 60. Erica, you can't jump in on this.
Oh, no, I'm staying out of that one. I'm going to stay clear out of that one. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Yeah. Boo-boo, you just stay over there, you know, because you're in my city. I can find you. So anyway, it's funny. So, okay, I'm going to pledge myself today on this show. I am going to learn about technology and not be so scared of that. You know, I think sometimes you see the postings about not being fearful of things. And I will admit, when it comes to technical things, I am a bit fearful of it. Stephen knows this for a fact. I was sitting here on this file that was sent to me to upload some equipment to do the other radio shows. And I was, you know, I've been having computer issues and stuff. I did not even click on this file. Stephen, how many months did I have this file? I mean, I had this file for months. And
all
I was on
months,
the phone.
Yeah.
And Stephen was like, well, send me the file or whatever. And let me look at it. And maybe I can explain it to you over the phone. And, you know, and, you know, Flava, you can go to YouTube. You can learn any kind of program on YouTube and, you know, all these things. But I would not click on it. And then finally one day I was on the phone with another friend, Roger, and I clicked on it and found out I didn't even have the files in there that was needed. But I sat there all these months because I didn't want to make a mistake trying to upload these programs that I didn't even open up the folder. So I have issues when it comes to technology. It scares me, and I think the biggest thing is because I depend on a computer so much that I don't want to do something wrong that was going to cause it to die on me. And as you know, anybody who knows me, you know the computers around me have been dying.
You can accidentally hit a button, and if you don't know what button you accidentally hit, you don't know what to do.
And that's me. And you know, and my daughter will sit here and like, Mom, just try it, you know, or whatever. You know, like, it's going to give you the instructions, whatever. But anyway, I didn't even open up this folder to even realize I didn't have everything in the folder that I would need anyhow. And I could have had that resolved a long time ago if I would have clicked and opened it and then realized it wasn't even there to then contact the person that had sent me the file in the first place. So 2012, I do think that for me, you know, this old school old lady is going to not be so fearful and try things more so immediately and then ask questions if I don't get it. So Erica, you live close by me, right? So you can help me with this stuff.
Absolutely.
Wow. Wow, why people laugh?
I guess because I can visualize you at the computer trying to figure out how to open up this file, because I've had so many bosses that have had computers and they're just looking like, well, how do I do this and how do I search for a file?
So exactly.
I understand that. And at first it kind of threw me off because I would think like, how you don't know how to use a computer? But now I'm like, okay, with technology changing, I can understand that, because I felt the same way about a touchscreen phone. Because when I went to go upgrade my phone, I told the lady, like, I don't want a touchscreen. That's just too much. I don't like them. It doesn't work out all the time. It keeps messing up, and I'd be hitting the wrong buttons. And I asked her to give me, it was like a half and half. So it had the actual keyboard, and it had a touchscreen. So I think I actually lucked out with that one, because it was a good transition for the phone that I have now, which is all touchscreen. But
okay.
I say all that to say this. I understand where you're coming from, as far as in going into the next year, you're going to, instead of kind of being fearful and being your enemy, you're going to make it your friend. So
well,
definitely
I,
when you
I
make
need
it
to
more of your
that.
Friend, when you definitely
yeah.
make it more of your friend, it makes it so much easier, because then you start learning tricks of the trade, and then you can pay it forward to someone else who didn't know. And then it makes you look
well,
like, oh, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, if I could get to the point of looking like I know what I'm doing, I think that would be a good thing. But I think for me to overcome the fear of, just trying to do it or whatever, I think that would be really, really a big step for me. And what it is in what I do, technology is really, really important, to make my world work and to be able to do, more things. And I don't understand it. So I have a confession, Stephen. Now that I'm back on this desktop, I do have Adobe Audition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it. I did try to go in and do what Cedric showed me when he was here. And
okay.
I can't remember. So I can't even figure out how you download an MP3 on there, let alone record my voice.
That's easy. No. I could talk to you that over the phone.
So, yeah, maybe if you could give me a lesson on that over the phone.
I could do some
things. And the other thing is because I'm old and forgetful, I never remember to walk up the street to go into the studio with Black Stacks to record my flavor of coffee.
I hope you didn't think I forgot about that.
Well, I guess obviously it's going to be a 2012 project.
Not a
because,
problem.
Because, Jace is like, well, I go in the studio on Tuesday, and Black Stacks goes in on Wednesday, right? And I'm like, and it's honestly like four blocks from where I live, and I'm like, the day comes and goes, and I totally forget about going up there. So.
Mm-hmm. Totally forget, huh? Okay.
that's because I'm not an artist. I think that if I was passionate about that part of it, then I'd be up there, huh? If I was an artist.
Yeah, okay.
But since I'm not an artist, that's not like at the forefront of my mind saying, Flav, go up to the studio and record your piece for Steven.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to put you on my Google Calendar. So every Monday I'm going to be sending you a text message, say, tomorrow's Tuesday.
Okay. And then you have to send one to me on Tuesday saying, okay, today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah, go up to the studio and meet Jay so you can record your piece.
In fact, I could set it up so that it will send you the text on your phone, so I won't have to do it.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to do that because, I'm sitting here, like, talking to you about it, right? And I'm like, I haven't even done that yet, so I need to put that on my Zoho calendar. And maybe I need to put that on my phone, Miss Erica. Okay.
Yes.
So enough about me and my issues. I know. It's really, I always get off on me and my own issues. I guess I like to use myself as an example. You know, for some reason, I think sometimes people think I'm perfect. I'm just not perfect. Clearly, this show has proven I'm not a perfect human being. You know, but I, you know, again, I do these shows because I love opening up a dialogue with others, and I love to hear what you guys have to think and what you feel about, you know, different aspects of this particular industry. And, you know, I love to share my own horror stories of how I've learned and grown in my part, you know, of playing a role. So, you know, I don't have no qualms, you know, in many areas and selling my dirty laundry, you know, except for the things that I don't want Steven to tell anybody. That's worth some money.
I can see it now. The Chronicles of Lady Flavor. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That might sell some money. That might make some money. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. And the stories I could tell about artists.
Oh man. We don't want to go there. At least not on live radio anyway. Maybe in print, you know.
Yeah.
But we could change the names to protect the innocent, you know.
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Maybe I ought to write a book that way, huh? And then everybody could say, she wrote about me. That character was me. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm suing.
I got stories to tell, but anyway, I guess we scared Noah off. I was hoping he was going to call into the show. He probably thought Flava's got some issues tonight. And I don't know why Miss Erica's posting this. I guess she wants people to come hear me talking crazy, too, because she's now on the phone. Yay. Erica's on the line. Come check us out. Erica's on the line. Anybody else, if you'd like to join in the last 15, 13 minutes of the show, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. This show may go into the archives. If you're interested in listening, you do need to be on the line. You don't have to hit the number one button. You can just be on the phone and listen to the show. We've got other people that are listening. But, you know, again, to take it back to a serious note, you know, we are leaving 2011. What does that look like for you? You know, what is your process in trying to embark on a better year, a stronger year, go into it with more confidence and with the right tools or more tools that you need to upgrade, you know, who you are as an artist or a person, a part of this industry? Again, you know, as you hear me talk all the time, you know, and I don't like the shows to turn into about me, but again, I share my stories just to, you know, get the conversation going or to, you know, maybe you might gain something out of, you know, what I have to share. But, you know, I can't imagine that everybody's world has been perfect, you know, when it comes to this. This is not an easy industry to be in. And if you just even sit on Facebook and watch people's posts, you're like, okay, I guess that artist isn't having a good day. Okay, I guess that artist isn't having a good day. Well, okay, that one's kind of feeling hopeful. Okay, this one's got the Holy Ghost over here, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, just even watching people's posts, you get a sense of who they are. My another tidbit going out of this year. I think it's really important to watch what you post.
Amen, sister.
Because that's when it comes down to you never know who's watching. And if you're a messy
post, everybody's watching.
You just don't know. I'm
going to tell you, I have posted things sometime on my Facebook page that people will come back and make a comment about, and it will be people that I have even forgot that I had as friends on my Facebook page. But obviously they have been paying attention to what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's some very good advice. Be very, very careful. You know, give it some thought. Never post angry. Never ever post angry. You know, if you're mad about something, don't do it. Don't do it.
I think some of your I totally get it, because sometimes I want to post things and to make a point. You know, the bottom line is, are you really making a point, or are you just doing it for yourself? But I've noticed, because there are people who are watching me, you know, they're also watching the people that I'm watching.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at some of the comments I get from people who have posted on my post. You know, somebody calling me on the phone like, okay, what was that they wrote on your post, Leva? You know, or why did you post that, you know, Susan, you know, or whatever. So I think that that's something also important. If you want to be taken in this serious in this industry and you want to build relationships, the last thing that people want is to get involved with somebody who they perceive. You may not be a person of drama, but they may perceive you as being a drama person depending on what you post. And so, you know, you'd be amazed at how many people may connect with you or get connected with you that are on a more experienced level than where you're at when it comes to this particular industry, and they notice you and don't say anything. It's just like radio show hosts, you know, reaching out to me and saying, you know, I had one in Atlanta reach out to me and say, you know, we listen to about 3 or 4 of your radio shows, and, you know, we'd like you to consider, you know, coming on board with us and being a host on our radio station. You know, but that was based off of them paying attention to me. Hopefully they're not listening to this show tonight, huh? Because they would totally get a different side of me, you know. But, you know, but that's where I definitely would caution people going into 2012. If you're serious about who you are and what you're doing in this industry, be careful of what you're posting. You know, if you've got drama with other people in the industry, that's the last thing you want to put online, is that. If you've got drama going on in your personal world, I think that's something to be careful to, you know, what you post about. It's really, you know, the more you make moves, the more people are going to talk, and a lot of it's not going to be favorable, you know, and I think that you also need to learn to brush those negative comments off. You know, I've been criticized for discriminating against who I support on my radio show.
That's the thing is, that's something else in this industry, is you can't take anything personal.
Exactly.
Because if you think about it, it's not really personal. Whether someone's critiquing your music or anything else, it's not personal. But at the same time, if they try to make it personal, you got to be big enough to cut loose.
Exactly.
From
yeah.
You know?
You keep it professional at all times. Mm-hmm. With every post, with every email, with every... I mean, everything you do online is, once you put it out there, it's out there, and it's out there forever.
That's
yeah,
your reputation.
You can't take it back.
You cannot right. take it back. So keep in mind that if you want to be professional, if you want to be perceived as professional, just be professional. You know, I don't care what you do offline. I don't care if you play volleyball with pigs. It really doesn't matter what you do offline, you know, in your own backyard or whatever. But when you're online, keep it professional. Keep it real. Keep it professional.
And I think the best way to win. Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm saying it don't matter how they come at you, because it's your choice.
That's right.
Keep it professional.
It's your choice. Your choice right. how you respond. That's what I said.
And
you know, sometimes people can make you angry.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you can't respond right there. You have to just sit back and chill a little bit, cool out, relax, put it back on a professional level, then respond. But if you respond too soon, you're liable to say something that you can't take back. And then you're liable to really regret.
And that's not an easy thing. You know, and it doesn't matter what your age is. You can definitely learn to be mature about it. And I'm a Cancer. Everybody knows, if you know me, you hear me talk about it. I'm an emotional Cancer. I wear my feelings on my sleeve. You know, you can learn a lot by listening to me on how I think and feel about things. You know, and, you know, I may call, you know, somebody up on the phone and say, do you know what this person said about me? And usually they're very good to me, you know, just like Patrick says, you know, you have the control about how you choose to respond to it. And that's where, you know, your part comes into play. We all have the choice of how we react. You know, but definitely the online drama stuff, the best way to win against somebody who, if we want to call them a hater, is by not even reacting and to continue going on and doing what you do and doing it well. That's when it's going to get them the most. You know, you could go back and retaliate, or you could, you know, have on online battles. I caught myself the other day with a high school friend. You know, somebody who I grew up with, actually, since probably about 12 years old, he wanted to battle me on in regards to freedom of speech, you know, when it came to art. And I said, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, everybody has the right and, you know, the capability of producing and creating art the way they choose to. I have the right when it comes to being Lady Flava, what it is that I'm willing to support on my shows or through my network. And then I had to go back and say, you know what, Susan, this isn't even worth going there. You know,
yeah,
so
see,
I deleted
it. Right, that's it right there.
You
why
know?
Give yourself a headache? You know,
right.
It'll separate yourself from it from the beginning.
And I thought that in my response it was going to be okay, but then I saw it was escalating. You know, and so it was like it was time to end it. So, when I say these particular things, I'm not saying it just to other people. I have to remind myself of it, too, that, you know, with me being an emotional, sensitive Cancer, I play into some of these things. And I'm like, why did they do that? Why did they say this? Whatever, you know, or, oh, my God, you know, this made me mad, or, you know, whatever. I play into my emotions. But when it comes to being a public figure, I definitely, you know, have to know how to control that, you know, to come across as a professional and to be taken that way.
And unfortunately, there are people out there that try to bait you into those kind of things, too, just because you're
sure.
in public life, you know.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you have to be very careful of that.
That's true.
The show is going to be ending the live stream in about 2 minutes. So if there's anybody who would like to call in and listen to the rest of the show, please, you know, feel free to do so. Otherwise, in about 2 minutes, it's going to go dead air, kind of like what I was doing earlier in the show, you know. But that was my own technical difficulty. So please call in to 347-857-1189. I do want to ask a few more questions of the people that are on the phone that are able to stay on the air as I'm thinking about these things going out of this particular year into 2012. One thing that I realized about myself, you guys, is that because of having the technical difficulties that I've had, you know, with the computers and everything like that, I allowed some things to slide, you know, and not keeping certain information updated. And I spent some time in this past week and going back and, you know, I'm old, and where did I write that password down for, you know, LinkedIn or something like that, you know, so having to create a new page. And updating my website information, I mean, I still had information from 2 years ago, you know, on certain parts of it. I still had pages up that really didn't exist anymore and didn't serve any purpose on the site. So I went in and cleaned it up and, you know, brought it all current. I do think that that's something that's really important, is when you do have an online presence, you know, to keep your sites updated as much as possible with current information about who you are in this industry. What are your thoughts on that? We'll start with Patrick. What are your thoughts on that?
Well,
Yeah, if you're not current, you know, you're not going to be current to anybody else. So they're not going to know exactly what you're doing if you don't keep everything up to date. But much like my website, I had everything in there, and, you know, I had each individual single and everything. But recently I just put them both down to where you can buy either the EP or the CD versus buying singles, you know. Kind of squeeze it out to update it a little bit, you know, because, like you say, just have to keep one step ahead if you can.
And I think that it's important to somehow make it attractive and appealing to the eye. I think that once you send somebody over to a site and you want them to check it out, you know, you want it to be easy for them to maneuver through it, you know, to find the information, and that, you know, in a sense, it's eye appealing. So now, Erica, with your company and what you're doing, you don't have a website at this point, correct?
Well, for my RBC consulting, I don't have a website as of yet. I'm just using Facebook as of now. However, with EWB Jazz Sessions, they do have a website. However, I don't have access to the website as of yet because I'm fairly new to the organization. However, I even with RBC and anything that I've done in the past where I had to have a website or even I look at it like this. If your website or anything that has your information on that is supposed to be you as a brand as for the public eye, that's the same as your resume. So if you were just the average person getting a job and you need that information, you need that resume. So you need to update it every time something changes in what you do. So
right.
Whether it's your website, your business card, you know, web page, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you're going to do, that has to be updated on a regular basis because then you, like what we keep saying, you never know who's watching. So if someone hears something about you and then they go look at your webpage and, wait a minute, is this the same person? Is it the right person? Nobody's used this page since 2006. Like, I don't know if I have the right thing. So then they've already lost interest. They used to say you had 30 seconds to capture attention of someone, but the way technology and everyone's attention span is nowadays, you really only have about half that amount of time. So if you don't take up those first 15 seconds to grab someone's attention in art and give them as much information to keep them interested, then you pretty much already said no before you even asked the question because you shot yourself in the foot.
Right. Now, Stephen, I'm going to go to you because I know that you're really good at keeping all of your stuff updated. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, definitely believe me. You have to... I mean, both these guys make a real good point. If you don't keep people interested, then they'll move on to the next flavor of the month pretty much. And and once you lose them, it's hard to get them back. I mean, it's almost impossible. I believe in consistency. I know there's a lot of people out there that's doing this, and you know, people are trying to hold down full time jobs, you know, running homes, all this kind of stuff like that. Everything's going on, and you have to put together a schedule that works for you, where you say, okay, for me, I lucked out. I'm working a full-time gig, but I usually get 3 days off a week. And out of those 3 days, two of them, or most of those 2 days, are spent with my online presence. And that's a big thing nowadays. If you don't keep that regularity going, you could break it, you know, things happen, you know, where you can't do it, but you know, people understand that too.
people understand that life intrudes on things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, let's say you're constantly posting on Facebook for a whole week, and then all of a sudden nobody sees you for a month. Guess what?
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to have some kind of consistency. And that's a major part of consistency, and keeping things updated is of huge importance to you if you want to make it out there.
I think that you made a really good point. I think that all of you made a really good point because, you know, I agree with Patrick. I think that, you know, to keep your information current or whatever. But I think that also, and I know that you do this, Stephen, you change it up where, you know, like, for instance, your CDs, you lowered the price for the holiday, you know, to try to attract people. You make certain tracks available for free downloads or, you know, singles available versus an album. You know, you go back and forth with different approaches and kind of, you know, I guess I kind of like that in a sense because it kind of keeps me on my toes when I go over to the site and check out what's going on. There's something that's always different. You and your team put out a really, really great, you know, newsletter, you know, with information and good information about the artists that you're working with. So I think that's another great tool. And I think that it is important. You know, it's really funny. You'd like to think that you created a brand and that it's always going to be thought of and remembered. And Stephen's right. If you go offline for even a week to two, you know, a month or, you know, 3 months, somebody else has stepped into that slot that caught your audience's attention. And so when you come back out, people might say, oh, where were you? You know, we missed you. And others might be like, okay, so, you know, what's going on with you? And you have to kind of build back up their, you know, their interest in who you are and what you're doing. So I think that that staying current and being consistent is something that's important. I know that one of the things in conversation with Patrick is that he puts himself on a schedule when he's going to go and, you know, advertise himself out, you know, where he's going to post and who he's going to post to. And I think that's a good plan, too. You know, when you sit there and you're just posting to the same people all day long, it's, you know, if they're not paying attention and, you know, asking questions or coming and interacting with you, it doesn't seem to serve a purpose. Yet you are
right.
Keeping yourself out there and you're keeping them in front of them so they will remember that you're there. But when you can go to different networks, and that's why, you know, I set myself back up on Ping. That's one of those other things that I forgot the passwords to. I swear I have a notebook that I write down the passwords and codes to things, and I do try to keep it about the same so I don't, like, go too far off and forget. But for some reason, some of the sites, when I go in and I type in what I think are the codes, and it doesn't let me in. And then, you know, I've changed emails over the years and this and that, and I don't use the Yahoo email accounts anymore and da-da-da-da-da. You know, certain accounts I just can't get back into. So anyway, I really like Ping for me because I can send it out to different networks at one time. So I don't have to actually be on the sites.
Right.
I just put one post and it goes to all the different networks that I'm on.
Yeah, that goes back to that syncing thing I was talking about. You know, you can, like, Reverb Nation does the same thing. I can go to my Reverb Nation page and put in a update, and it will update my Facebook page, my Twitter page, I still got my MySpace page, and it'll update.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah,
my Reverb.
So you can
do
it all from one place. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also a good thing when you have that capability of being able to send out
post to all of your networks just from one click of the button. And there's many different ways. I think TweetDeck does that too. I'm just not a Twitter person, so one day somebody's going to teach me this Twitter thing because I do have it on my phone and everything, right? And I saw somebody, it sent me alert saying somebody tagged me in something on Twitter. Then I couldn't figure out how to respond to them. I was like, and I don't understand the at signs and the number signs and like what all that like means. And I think Twitter to me is like a foreign language. Okay, so in 2012.
It's not the same as like interaction like with Facebook. It's not like that, but it's good for advertising, I think. I think it's good for advertising.
Well, that's what I hear.
It's good for advertising, yeah.
And I've heard that, right? But I just, you know, I don't get it. So somebody's going to have to give me a Twitter lesson. I know, Stephen, you said that Leah should give me a Twitter lesson.
Yeah, she's,
you know,
she's a Twitter queen of SJF.
Yeah, but
I
don't get it at all. And I just, yeah, it's so foreign to me. But, okay, so 2012, I'm going to become a Twitterer. A tweeter.
Tweeter.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm going to be a tweeter. It is on my phone, you know, and, you know, I can be out and about and tweet. I don't know, for some reason I want to say twit. Tweet something. Yeah, I can't even get down the verbiage. I'm so old school. Can I just send you a note saying, do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
You could, but you might not get it back for a while.
Yeah, I know it.
I'm going to get a bunch of leopard print post-it notes made, and I'm going to fold them where it sticks together, and inside it's going to say, do you like Lady Flava? Yes, no, or maybe, and start handing them out to people. You know what? That might build my following in Seattle, huh?
Hey.
I might have to do that.
Hey, you know, somebody gave me an idea about that. In fact, it was your girl Blaze. It was the one that she hadn't brought it up to you. Just something that worked for me, and it kind of works in your local area real well. If you can get what she told me to do was get some cards made. They're not really business cards, but they're they just have, like, website information, just general stuff about, you know, what I'm doing and all that. Mm-hmm. And she said, instead of giving them to people, just leave one everywhere you go. You
right.
go to the convenience store, someone to pick up a soda and a bag of chips, just leave one, you know.
It works.
Every time I go to, like, get gas or something, After I finish pumping my gas, I'll take a card and stick it in the slot where the credit card goes. So whoever uses that pump has to at least pull that card out before they can put their card in.
Or like if you go, you know, like when you go to pay for your gas, go inside and just ask them if you can just leave a few on the counter, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, because I do that, and it's got my website on it, you know, with my picture, and it's got my information, you know. And it's just, like you said, it's just another avenue.
Yeah, and it really helps with your local promotions. Really does.
You know, and you get more direct hits on your websites with it, you know.
Yes.
Versus
yes.
the Facebook and stuff like that. You'll get more direct hits on your websites.
Okay,
yeah.
So then I have a question for you. Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, I was just going to share a story of where I actually learned that same technique. I was when I had just turned 19 and I had started selling cars at a used car lot. And by me being the youngest, on top of being the only female there, the top salesperson, I noticed that everywhere I would go with him, he would give everyone he came in contact with a card. Everyone. If we went to go pick up some food for everyone in the building, like everyone. And that was one of the reasons that made him one of the top salespeople at our establishment. So I took that same philosophy in anything that I do. I can't tell you how many business cards I ordered off of Vistaprint because I ended up changing them and I had to update my information. But I made sure everywhere I went to, I always had a business card. always.
Yeah.
And I always remember that the business card had, one, always had a picture, so it wasn't just a bunch of words. It would always have a picture that would you would look at that and then maybe look at the word. You just never know how a person's thought process, whether they think of with the left side of their brain or the right. So for me, I try to tackle all angles at the same time. So with that business card, it would definitely have my information, but it wouldn't have it wouldn't be overbearing where it was too much to read. Because one thing you don't want to ever have happen is you give someone a business card and they put it directly in their pocket. Or they say, or they just turn it down and or put it in their coat. You want them to look at it first. So if it doesn't capture their attention within that first 3 to 5 seconds, you've pretty much already lost your sale because they're not really going to listen to what you're saying because you didn't capture their attention. Now, that
well,
can go you know, either way, but, I mean, from my experience, that's what ends up happening.
No, and I think, Erica, you make a good point. I think that, again, all of you have made a good point when it comes to that. I think this is when it comes down to being creative, and I think that's something I would also stress going into 2012. You know, get creative with your marketing and how you connect with people. Don't expect it just off of Facebook because, you know, that's not necessarily going to be your winner. Don't get me wrong. I've made a good portion of my connections off of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that it is about getting creative. So, you know, when I had a business partner, it was a man. He was so not into my leopard print thing. I just told him, you know, you were going to wear leopard print one day, even if it's some boxers or something, you know. Your wife, you know, luckily his wife liked leopard print too, you know, but it was like, no, Flav, we can't do the leopard print thing. And I'm like, so I just, you know, I said, okay, we're not going to do the leopard print. So we got some cool business cards. It's got a microphone on it and, you know, and everything. So I'll be honest, with my frugal butt, I'm still using, you know, the Flava News cards that I have right now. The next cards I do get are going to have, they are going to be leopard print. Everything that is going to go out in regards to me is going to be leopard print because that's my thing. You know, I mean, I've already got people who, you know, when they see leopard print things, I get messages like, Lady Flava, I saw a leopard print this, and I thought of you. I'm like, I love that. I so love that. You know, but I think that, you know, it also comes down to, you know, having the information current, having those type of tools available. I think it is creative to go, you know, into certain places and ask if you can leave your business cards because there are places that will let you do that. You know, beauty salons, hair, you know, barbershops, libraries have a community board. You know, different places will let you. I also think that's a great idea, Stephen, too, to just leave cards randomly places. I'm not sure about the slot where you put the credit card at the gas station pump, but you know,
I do it all the time. Because if they want to pump gas and they want to use their credit card, they got to pull my card out of there first. Sorry.
You know, but I think that, you know, I think that's a great way. You know, or even if you, you know, get some simple cards, you know, that, you know, you can have your information, like Stephen said, just websites or whatever. Like, for instance, with me, I could have my radio station, you know, link and, you know, my website link on a card or whatever, you know, and be able to have them available. And I always have business cards in my purse, always. You know, I think that's really important, too. And I love the fact when I go places that when somebody asks about who I am or what I do, you know, I'm able to give them a business card. I don't like it when somebody pulls a worn, cornered business card out of their wallet. I'm like, how long has that been in there?
Yeah, got poo stains on it and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Somebody else's phone number written on the back or whatever.
Yeah. Old phone number scratched out and a new one written
exactly.
in and all that, yeah.
I do think that Erica's right, though. You know, in this competitive world that we live in, I think you do have to catch people's attention to keep their attention. So for me, the leopard print works because that definitely is my brand, and it will remember. I will be honest, if I get a pink business card, I am going to notice that over 10 white ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
even though the writing on the white ones are going to be easy to read or whatever, but I do think that there's got to be something on, even if it's a white business card, that's going to stand out to say, huh, Flavor, remember this one, you know, and then I can kind of visualize and picture where I have that particular card or whatever, you know, to, you know, go back and address it. I do have an index card box. I think I had talked to Stephen about that I was going to do this, you know, and I put the business cards actually in there now. So I've gotten that part organized where I have people in categories of who they are and what they do. I also have an artist box that is alphabetized by artist name and information that I deal with here on Flava News, so that I can have their information at my, in my mind, old school fingertips, because it's easier for me to reach over here to this card box right here in front of my face and grab the information versus client trying to find a post-it note application on my computer. But I'm going to grow it
anyway, because if the computer crashes, you still got your information.
Well,
that's
see,
true.
And see, thank you, Patrick. I knew there was a reason I liked you. See, because you just don't know how right you are with some of that stuff. If I didn't have some of this stuff written down, as many times as my computers have crashed, I'd be in serious mud. I'm blessed. I do
keep
have
a,
an external hard drive
old,
now. And
keep a old school phone book with your address and phone numbers in it.
Oh, yeah.
And everything mm-hmm. else. That way, if you drop your water, you drop your phone in the water or something, you get all your information still.
Oh,
exactly.
Man. I can't tell you how many times I've dropped phones in the washing machine. And oh, man.
We won't mention the time it went in the toilet, so yeah.
We're not going to tell you that.
No, but that's true, though. I mean, as much as people try to say that, you know, this is foolproof, technology is foolproof, it really isn't. How many times?
It's man-made.
Yeah.
That's what people forget. It's man-made. So.
Mm-hmm.
So my issue would be to find that journal, you know, to find where I wrote stuff in. But it's right here in front of my face, you know, all my journals. But, yeah, I really love the index card box because I've got, anytime I go out to an event or I go places and somebody gives me a card, it goes in there. And then when I go back, then I can categorize it if I haven't done that immediately. You know, but I think that there's different techniques, and I would challenge anybody and everybody to really get creative in 2012. If you want to be recognized, if you take what you're doing seriously, try to figure out, what you could do to cause yourself to stand out. I never thought that I was somebody who really wanted to be an attention getter, but yeah, now as Lady Flava, I want to be an attention getter. And
really?
One of the conversations. Even when I share my dirty laundry on the radio shows, that's why I do it. Like, okay, Lady Flava's got issues. Let me tune back into the next artist roundtable because she might reveal some more issues. Okay, so no. Like for me, what do people say, Stephen? They say that I'm homey and I'm welcoming, right? It just
right.
feels like sitting in. So, you know, that's just my flavor. You know, me, yeah. my issues, all of that. That's part of my brand.
You know, but I would.
And so it works for me to be a goof up or whatever. You know, it works. And then everybody knows that, you know, I'm a real person, hopefully, and I'm passionate about what I do. And it all kind of works in together, you know, when I, you know, sneak in my issues there. You know, but I do think that we got to be creative, you know, in how we're going to leave our mark and get people to pay attention, to us. You know, because there's too many other artists. There's other people out there doing what we do. We're not the only ones. As much as we'd like to think we might be the only ones, there is somebody else out there doing it bigger and better than we are. So how do we get to that point? And how do we get people to pay attention? And I think that, you know, some of the ideas that all of you shared tonight were great ideas, you know, to really ponder on and actually implement. If it seems to work for you. One of the things that my friend Roger said to me, I think it was last week, you know, he's my friend that makes me cry, but I love him dearly. He says, Susan, so what are you doing new lately? So I said, well, you know, Roger, I'm setting boundaries and I'm doing this, that, and the other. He's like, okay, tell me how you're setting boundaries. Well, you know, I'm working towards. He says, okay, working towards. If you're working towards, are you actually doing? I was like, well, I'm taking those steps towards. Okay, working towards, does that mean you're doing it? Okay, so you really have not set that boundary yet, Susan.
Just set the boundary and get it over with. Just set the boundary and get it over with. Move on to the next thing. That's what he's trying to tell you.
In a nutshell, so many words in a nice way.
No, exactly. You know, and I love, that's why I love having conversations with him, because he pulls my coattails.
That's to keep you from pondering on it too long.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've had this conversation for 6 months, Susan. Okay, so you said you set the boundaries. Tell me what the boundaries are. Oh, okay, so you really have not set the boundaries because you're not acting on it. You're thinking about acting on it. Thinking about acting on it and acting on it are two different things, Susan. Okay, Roger. Okay, Roger.
He's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. You can think about doing something forever.
I'm telling you, you can think about it to the grave, but you got to do it.
Exactly. I guess I tell that story to say this. It's easy for us to have these conversations, you know, even if we come to every artist roundtable, and I'm going to try to do them every last Thursday of each month, you know, and have open up the phone lines for this great conversation. I've really appreciated this one tonight. But, you know, it's one thing to have these conversations, but, man, if we don't act on what it is that we say for ourselves, whether we say it out loud on the show or to anybody else, but we're even thinking about it as we talk and we don't act on them, shame on us, you know, because we have tools. And the beautiful thing about the Artist Roundtable, and Stephen can, you know, co-sign on this, there have been some great relationships created off of just the Artist Roundtable. Where people have gone off of this show and then connected, you know, on Facebook and by email and by phone, you know, with each other and have worked on projects. So, you know, when people have conversations, you know, on this particular show, doesn't mean that you couldn't reach out to Stephen on Facebook or Patrick on Facebook or Erica on Facebook and say, you know, I appreciated that point or, you know, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I've already reached out to Mr. Ferguson.
Oh, yeah. Erica, too. We're connected.
You know, so just like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, connections have been made. And trust me, Stephen's a great person to reach out to, and he'll respond, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Okay.
I'm glad you mentioned that. That's another thing artists really need to do. Is when people send them emails or leave comments about what they're doing, respond to it.
Yeah.
You know, respond to it. Even if you just say a quick thank you very much or something, but respond to it. That's a big deal right there.
I definitely agree with that one. I had with my RBC consulting, I posted this morning how I noticed that, you know, everyone shares and likes everyone else's, but with people that I constantly are in contact with on Facebook, I'm like, okay, but you're not helping me build the brand, and I'm helping you do what you're doing. So
right.
when people do like RBC, and of course I get the notification, as soon as I get that notification, I'm immediately on their personal page saying, thank you, tag RBC Consulting. We appreciate the support with a smiling face. And that's it. Because then
yeah.
if someone sees that, they're like, oh, well, if she likes RBC, what does RBC do? And then it starts to
build. Yeah.
So it
exactly.
is definitely good to respond. And if you know how to tag in Facebook or on Twitter or LinkedIn, it's definitely good because on all three of those links, the industries look at all three of those. Those are the top three that they're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
No, and you made a point.
Like the people I connect with, I'd make it a point to let them know they can advertise and post on my wall anytime they want to.
Yes,
you know,
that
it's open for them to also advertise. You know, it's not just for me to open up my gateway to somebody else. And if I see that they're not, you know, or they feel uncomfortable doing it, I'll do it for them, you know. I'll go grab some of their material and advertise it on my wall.
Exactly. Just share it on your wall. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No, and that's a great point.
Because
you know, to be
you
able
know,
to...
It's not... you know, I guess you can say back in the golden days, in the good old days, you know, before technology, that's what it was. You know, bands used to help each other out, get each other gigs. You know, sometimes you would even play in three different bands, you know.
Yeah.
Different styles of music, but all three of them needed a bass player or a guitar player, so you'd be playing in all three bands, you know. But that's what it was. It wasn't dog eat dog, you know.
Right.
It was, yeah, you know, it was a competition, you know, yeah, we're going to blow you off the stage, but it was friendly competition.
Yes.
You know. And,
right.
And I think that's lost, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to those days.
Well, you know, and it's funny.
I'll tell you.
Well, I think that, you know, I think that there's so many people out there being an artist now. You know, with the technology, it has opened up the floodgates for people, you know, to become creative. And I think with doing that, it also has created this industry to be so very, very competitive. You know, so who can record, you know, the best sounds, the more tracks, the more albums, who can get the most, you know, hits on Reverb Nation to bring their numbers up, you know, whatever. It's like so competitive out there. Some of it, I think, is more of a popularity thing versus an actual talent thing, too. I think that could be a subject for another artist roundtable, popularity.
Ooh, yes, Lord.
Talent.
Well, yeah, because you think about it, you can be the most popular person on Reverb Nation and not be selling a thing.
Not selling a thing, you're right.
You can have two hits, and you can be making a living selling your music.
Right.
Yep. Mhm.
You know?
That's the only number that matters. Is that sales number.
Right.
Okay. I don't care if you got 3,000 people on your Facebook page. You trying to tell me all 3,000 of them people are paying attention to everything you do and listening? I wish you would believe that.
Yeah.
And I got some bridges I need to sell you. You know,
like you said, the people that you put in your Facebook or any of your other social medias, you know, if you look at mine, a lot of mine are people of the industry. And a lot of them are people that I want to learn from.
Yeah.
It's not people I just want to chat with. It's somebody that's way above me. And I like being around people I can learn from.
Yes, indeed.
You know, a lot of people, they'll try to find someone to where they're either on the same level or, you know, to me, that's keeping me at a standstill. I want to be around people that I can learn from. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You want to, you always want to be progressing. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because once you start standing still, man, it's that's never a good thing in any business.
It's hard to keep motivated if you start standing still.
Yep.
You know, you got nothing new. You got nothing fresh coming at you, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that it comes back to, and I think it comes back to another statement you made earlier in the conversation, Patrick. You know, I think you have to be able to take criticism, too. Because as long as you can take criticism, especially from those that you respect, there you can also learn and grow. You know, in doing this. And in that, you know, for me, when somebody challenges me that way, for instance, like with my conversations with Roger, it pushes me to do more. You know, it pushes me to be smarter and to do better, you know, and all of that. And so I think that, you know, it, to keep fresh and you know, exciting in this, I mean, you have to, you know. I mean, Starbucks is continuously tweaking what they're doing and how they market.
I'm going to tell you something that my father told me when I was a little bitty little boy about criticism and if somebody says something bad about you. You need to consider the source that it's coming from.
Well, there's that too.
Okay. If I get criticism from Quincy Jones, I'm going to listen to every single syllable, every word of it, okay?
Right.
But if I get criticism from JoJo down at the barbershop, I'm not going to put that much, you know, into it, okay?
Wow. So JoJo doesn't matter.
You have to consider the source. Because if it's someone that knows what they're talking about, they're not going to belittle you.
Well, okay, belittling. I think belittling and criticism, constructive criticism, are two different things. And you're
definitely
right about that.
Yeah. But, you know, if it's someone that's an industry professional and they say, hey, Steve, look, let me tell you something, man. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing this. And you need to start doing this and start doing that. If that's coming from Quincy or Paul Hardcastle or somebody like that, yeah, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to pay real close attention to it. But, like I said, if it's coming from, you know, a liquor store owner in Las Vegas, Nevada somewhere, you know, it's like, okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, that's probably not going in my journal, okay?
But that liquor store owner might have been, you know, Quincy Jones's, you know, cousin from his mama's, you know, half-brother on his...
That's why he's there. He's... okay.
Well, I know also, though, I'll take criticism on different levels. Is like you said, if it's coming from somebody that's in the business, you know, I'll take it that way. But also the common listener that's not in the business, that doesn't play music, that just loves to listen to music, I'll take it from their point of view, too. Because sometimes you can write a piece of music, it can be great from an artist's point of view because they're listening to the phrasing and the chord progressions and everything like that.
Yeah.
But the common person, all they're listening for is the groove. So you can get a whole different criticism, you know, because if they're listening to something like that and it's not hitting them right, you know, they can give you a criticism too, you know, that you can take in part.
Right. Right. Well, I think all of that's a very, very, you know, are very valid points. You know, so I think, you know, that, again, you know, stepping out of this year, you know, going into the new year, I think it's great to have conversations such as this. And, you know, I like doing it publicly. You know, but I think that even if you can have the conversations with somebody in the industry, you know, that you're comfortable with, and, you know, you can learn and grow. And Erica, you know, definitely I've learned some things from you tonight. So I don't want you to ever think because, you know, I'm old enough from your, as you know, to be your mama that I can't learn and grow from you also, you know, because that's not the case. You know, Mariko, you know, teaches me new things all the time, you know, about, you know, how to do something online or, you know, how to think, you know, in a different direction on a subject we might be discussing or whatever, you know. So just, you know, please know that, you know, I can, you know, I can take it even from you, you know, and can learn and grow, you know, from information that you share. And there are so many points that you made on this show tonight that I think are extremely valid, you know. So I'm excited, you know, especially for Erica watching you because I can see your passion, You know, I can feel it, even though I haven't met you in person yet, but I will meet you in person soon. I can feel your passion, you know, for what it is that you're doing. And
you can see it in her writing when she posts things on Facebook. That she's not playing when she when she posts things.
Yeah, it's tricky. I crack jokes and say that I think about business 25/8 instead of 24/7 because even, like, when I woke up late one day and when I woke up, it seemed like everyone I was in contact with was already on point. And I felt like I had completely dropped the ball, and I kind of whipped myself because I'm like, oh, listen, I woke up at 11:30, and I've already got emails and posts, and my artist song got played, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm slipping. So it for me, when it comes to business, I think business minded first. So I definitely, in what I write, what I post, especially when it comes to branding RBC, like I'm trying to put common sense back into communication, because from what I've seen from when I first started working at 16 to now, which is not a long time because I'm only 30, but it just seems like the common denominator that messes everything up is common sense thinking and people not being able to communicate. So for me, if I can take on that role, then to me, I guess it seems like the rest is easy. You know, it's just about being able to think about it first before you actually put something into action. So I'm very passionate about whatever I put myself into, because if I'm not passionate about it, it's not going to work. Then it's just that if I'm going to do that, I might as well just go get any old kind of job and just be a robot, which is not going to work for me at all.
Erica, you are wise beyond your years, young lady.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to connecting with you and learning from you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Same here.
Because she mentioned something that's she said the CS word, common sense. I mean,
it's not rocket science, you know.
It's
about just think outside the box. The answer's there. You're just not looking for it. My mom used to tease me all the time when, you know, I'd go look when I'm little and I'm looking for something, and she'd be like, if it was a snake, it would have bit you already. It's right there in front of you. If you just move something out the way, you might be able to find it. So that little lesson makes sense now. And any business venture I branch off into, whatever project I branch off into, okay, let's see. We already figured out the hard part, so we already know we can do the easy part. So let's figure out a plan to do the hard part, but it takes common sense. It's not that hard.
So,
but because you're not thinking ahead, you make it that hard.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, yeah, or you're just not thinking, period. You know, you make it that hard. But I have to say this, because when Erica was talking, it just made me think about this, and I got to throw it out there because, you know, I just have to do that. What I'm realizing now, you know, I sit here with a dictionary. Okay, I know, Erica, you can go on to the dictionary on the Internet. I got a book right next to my desk. I'm old school like that. But anyway, you know, I'm realizing that different people use words differently. The same word, and they interpret the definition differently of words. So even if you think you're having the same conversation with somebody and using the same words, you really may not be on the same page. I guess y'all don't want to co-sign with me on that one.
I agree with that one. That's why I believe in being clear in your communication. What exactly are you trying to say?
For instance, like, I've seen people throw out on Facebook the word integrity. I got integrity, you know, and this, that, and the other. And like, you know, I'm not going to compromise my integrity. And, you know, this, that, and the other, right? And then you really dig down, and I'm like, okay, but you know what? What you're saying, integrity, is not, you know, the same definition as mine, you know, and how I use that particular word. So I think that people definitely put their own twist on what words and phrases mean, too, where back in the day, you know, no and yes, good and bad were clearly defined. I think that what is good and bad to one person may not be to the other. You know?
Yeah.
So,
well, I think the first word they did that with was respect. You know? That was the first word they threw around, and it kind of lost its meaning. You know? So.
Yeah, but, and love was right after that. You
isn't
know?
That funny how it used to be that that was such a hard word to use for people to put out there, you know, I love you or whatever, you know, and now it's just like thrown around. The little kids at elementary school hug each other goodbye and say, I love you, see you tomorrow. I'm like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in elementary school, I wasn't hugging, you know, Johnny and, you know, and Corliss goodbye. Y'all hugging each other now? Like, my grandson's such a hugger. I'm like, Sean, don't be doing that. Like, you know, keep your hands to yourself, you know? But I do, I do. Go ahead.
Boy, that's a whole other subject right there, boy.
I know, it is. I know, I think of random things and they just have to come out my mouth. You know, but I guess, you know, I wanted to go back to, I do think that people use words differently.
Yeah, and, you know, especially online because sometimes people have a tendency where they'll have a thought about what they want to say, but when they actually write it out, it doesn't come out the way they actually meant it to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's like there's no, with written communication, there's no voice inflections or anything like that involved. There's nothing but what you see on the screen or what you see on the page. And sometimes that can kind of get lost in the translation a little bit. It may not exactly be saying exactly what you want to mean. That kind of goes back to, you know, thinking about what you put up there before you put it up there, you know.
Right.
Read it 2 or 3 times before you hit that post button or before you hit that send button, okay? just go back over it and read it out loud if you have to, you know, just so it at least sounds to you like it kind of is what you want to say.
Then try to keep it as simple as possible.
KISS, keep it simple and stupid. That's
wow. I have to write that one down in my journal there. Okay. KISS.
I taught communication in the Army, you know, written, verbal, nonverbal, all that stuff. And I could talk about this forever.
I think, well, yeah, I got you on that one. And I think the other thing is, too, is that some people aren't meant to clearly communicate with. You might think you are clearly communicating with them, and they're not getting it.
Right,
you know,
right.
So then, you know, I think that's when you need to reevaluate, you know, the reason for the communication. Because, you know, there are some people, I read a post the other day over and over, and I was like, okay, obviously this wasn't meant for me to get, because I'm not ever going to get this one. You know, and I don't even know if I actually was to reach out to the person who posted it and ask them, well, what does it mean? If I would get it either. But I say that to say this, that as effectively as you might think that you are communicating, not everybody is going to effectively
not everybody's going
hear
to
and receive it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you know.
Or it can go back to what you said before. Everything's not meant for you.
Exactly, yeah. It may not have been meant for you, you know.
You know, it's like you can read something, you know, it's not
right.
It's not meant for that person to read or something, or you know. But
okay, so then I'm going to take that statement, Patrick, a step further. I know.
Uh-oh.
It. We only got 9 minutes left of this recording period now. Okay, so I'm going to take that a step further and say, not all connections are meant to happen.
Correct.
And I think that some people waste a lot of time on trying to make a connection happen that's not meant to.
Correct.
It's never going to work. It's almost like a bad relationship, you know, how people mm-hmm. put time and time into something that they're unhappy at, and then they find themselves years into it and they're still unhappy.
Yep.
You know, or whatever. I think that there are some people that you are not meant to connect with, and sometimes it is about identifying that early, then later, and kicking rocks and keeping it moving.
No matter how much you try to force it, it's not going to happen.
It's like that Gladys. It's like the Gladys Knight song. Both of us don't want to say goodbye, but you know, sometimes you got to say kick rocks, like. I'm not happy, you're not happy. This is a non-winning, win-win situation.
Yeah.
And
nobody's
winning here.
Long-term
and short-term, you know, let's just call it what it is and call a spade and move forward, because at the end of the day, it's not bringing me happiness, and if I'm not happy, everyone around me is going to be miserable. So it's just not going to work.
Yep.
Okay, so now we'll just...
Go
ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that brings a good point, because this matches perfectly with someone who had messaged me and asked me if I would become. They saw everything I was doing on Facebook, and
uh-huh.
then they approached me and asked me to become their manager. And I had to take a step back about that for a second, like, is that a project I really want to take on? Now, I do know this person individually. However, I don't know their group. So I asked him to send me some stuff, but the stuff that he sent me and what they represent, I can't put my name to that. Because
right.
that's not what I'm about. So will it sell? Can I sell it? Yeah, I can sell it. I can sell chocolate to a person in white gloves. But that's not the point. I can't push that because I don't believe in it. At the end of the day, it's going to represent my name, my brand, and I can't do that. So now I have to communicate with him in a way where I know he will receive it in a productive way, that I can't take on that type of a project. I'm involved with something right now, and, you know, maybe we could talk about something later. That way it doesn't completely close the door, because he may switch up and branch off from them and really want to do his own thing. Because by me saying no, he's going to be like, okay, well, why is she – he's going to rethink that. Like, why did she really just say no? Because everyone who knows me, they know how I am when it comes to business. So if I'm doing it, that means there's got to be something to it. It's just a matter of, why did she tell me no?
Well,
or you
and
could
I
have
think
told them exactly what you just told us.
Right.
Exactly. I am definitely going to tell him that.
Because that's not an insult.
A matter of catching
that's
him.
That's just that. That's not your style of what you do. That's not an
exactly.
insult.
Exactly.
If I run across somebody that can help you, I'll send them your way. But that's not my
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
If I happen to know of a show that's coming up and, you know, they cater to your style of music, that's great. But as far as being a manager for you and your group, I must decline on that one. So, and, you know, I'm hoping and I'm praying that he will take that with positive, reception. But that's on him, though. Because I would definitely not come at him in a very negative way, because that's not how I believe. But
and I
you
think
just never know with their way of thinking. Right. You just never know how they may receive it. So that's where, it depends on how you communicate and if you're clear about it so that they can understand. And maybe take a look in the mirror and be like, maybe I do need to switch up something. I don't know.
Well, that's a positive outlook on you, because you're in it for the right reasons, you know.
I want to get back to selling chocolate to somebody in white gloves. I've never heard that before. That was good.
That's pretty easy. You just have to have like a natural talent for it and know how to get in with them.
That's a good one. I
got to
remember that one.
You go put that one in your book.
Yeah, that's getting wrote down tonight.
But
Well, you know, Patrick and Stephen and Eric, I really appreciate you spending time with me on this phone. You know, I never know who's going to call into the show. Usually Stephen doesn't disappoint me if he's available to come. You know, but Erica and Patrick, I really appreciate you joining in on the conversation, you know, because it just takes it to a different level and to hear different people's perspectives. And I don't necessarily, you know, set this up where everybody has to agree, because I think that everybody has the right to their opinions. But I think the beautiful thing about the roundtables that we've done thus far, and I think Stephen can agree, you know, it's always been respectful. You know, and people have always walked away with, you know, connecting with each other after the fact. So before the show stopped streaming live, you know, I wanted to thank you guys, you know, for participating. I want to thank everybody who listened to the show live. There's a few people still on the phone, to those that, you know, hung out in the chat room, and to those that hung out live. And I want to thank everybody who hung in with me for the first 30 minutes, you know, through all my, you know, technical issues in doing the show. But I love these conversations. I look forward to the next one. And, you know, I honestly could talk some more, but I fear that if I say some of the things I would love to say right now, that it's going to, we're going to run out of time, and all of a sudden it's going to cut us all off. So, again, thank you so much. What show am I going to do next? I am going to do a coffee house show on Saturday. You know, so I welcome everybody to come back and hang out with me on Saturday, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know, come to the coffee house, promote who you are and what you do, and come hang out and listen to some great indie music. That's how we do it here at Flava News Radio, only supporting the underground, independent, unknown artists, helping to shine the light on them as far as we can reach. I do want to tell everybody the SJF music newsletter is out, so if you have not signed up to receive your copy, definitely do that today. You can also see a copy of it online. I did a newsletter the other night, so go over and check out my newsletter. It's on flavanews.com, and just hit the Flava Coffee House or the Flava newsletter page, and you can check out what I've got on my newsletter. So take care. God bless. Thank you so much, my friends, for coming out and hanging out with me tonight.
Good night, guys.